This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. We're still talking about some of the adab and the etiquettes of as-salam. And the last point that we reached was the issue of, would it be permissible for you to say anything beyond wa barakatuh? And you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you add more than wa barakatuh? Can you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh wa ridwan? Anything extra than wa barakatuh? Or only barakatuh is the last thing to be said? Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah reported that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, intaha as-salamu ila al-barakah. That as-salam end with the word wa barakatuh. There is nothing more than that. And also Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu been reported that he said the same. And same thing about his father, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. But in the same time, we found that the companions in narrations which are authentic, they said something more than wa barakatuh. And also we're going to find in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, did he ever say anything more than wa barakatuh? As-salam has two sides, that's right. The one who gives salam and the one who reply. So we talk about you giving the salam. Can you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you add something more? And when you reply, can you add something more than wa barakatuh? That's the whole here. So you see that the narrations that we mentioned from some of the Sahaba like Umar ibn Abbas said it only end at wa barakatuh. But other companions have the same position. Actually, Ibn Umar radiallahu an, in the reply, he added more than wa barakatuh. He said, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh al-ghadiyat al-ra'ihat. Ya'ani, may Allah make it day and night upon you, the blessings and the mercy. Okay. Also, wa kana ibn Umar yazidu idha radda as-salam. Ibn Umar, whenever some give him salam, he will add more. Why? Because Allah said, when someone greet you with something, reply with similar or better. So if someone tell me, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, how can I make it better? I have to add more to it. And that's why Ibn Umar radiallahu an would add sometimes, wa tayyibi salawatih, wa tayyibi salawatih. Also, been reported that Zayd ibn Thabit wrote to Muawiyah radiallahu an, huma jami'an, saying, assalamu alaikum ya amir al-mu'mineen. ورحمة الله وبركاته ومغفرته وطيب صلواته. So he added more words and more dua. Okay. And Ibn Sinni also reported that Anas said, كان رجل يمر فيقول السلام عليك يا رسول الله. السلام عليك يا رسول الله. فthe Prophet ﷺ would reply by saying, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته ومغفرته ورضوانه. So here we have a narration that the Prophet ﷺ said after وبركاته ومغفرته ورضوانه. But this narration is weak, okay? But this narration also came in Tariq al-Bukhari and al-Bayhaqi fi Shu'ab al-Iman. And there is many narrations. If you add them together, it might be Hassan, it might be acceptable narrations that you can say in the reply more than wa barakatuh. And the most acceptable one that Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said it can be acceptable is the ziyadat wa maghfiratuh. So when somebody give you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you can say wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. What's maghfiratuh mean? Forgiveness. Yeah, food is not allowed in the masjid. Sorry, you can't eat in the masjid. So here we say that this is something can be acceptable, and many narrations from the Salaf give you the permissibility of the concept. So if somebody give you Yunus salam and said salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, how can you reply better? Yalla Yunus, let's see. Somebody said assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. طيب Yusuf, somebody said assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. How can you reply with something better? Wa maghfiratuh. Maghfiratuh, yani, and his forgiveness. Very good. طيب. This hadith, إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ, when you meet your brother, you give him salam, shows you that it doesn't matter who you meet, someone older or younger, someone riding or walking, okay? You can, basically, men or women, it doesn't matter. And yes, sunnah, that the one who's riding gives salam to the one who's not, the one who passing to the one who's sitting. But in this case, if you meet each other, you, the best of you is the one who give the salam. Question. Is it allowed for me to repeat the salam? Only repeat the salam if there is a separation. And that separation is time or object. Like we remember now, we mentioned the hadith that fi Sunan Abi Dawood, when you are with your friend and you meet your friend, your brother, you give him salam. فَإِذَا حَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا شَجَرًا, when they separated by a tree or a wall and they meet each other again, they said salamu alaykum again. So let's say I go from this door and you go from the other door and we meet each other. I said salamu alaykum. We go to the shurak. You go from this entrance and I go from the other entrance. We can say salamu alaykum and we meet each other again. Okay, you enter the car and I talk to someone, then I enter the car after you. I can say salamu alaykum as well. Is that clear? Or let's say we are in the house. Umar goes to his room and come out of the room. If he comes out of the room and see me outside in the hallway, he says, salamu alaykum. Wallah? Is that clear? So, or time. Let's say I got in the phone call for a while, and after I finish my phone call, I look at you and said, salamu alaykum. So because there is a period of time where separated us from each other. And the proof for that, the story of the one who came and prayed, then he came to the Prophet and he said, assalamu alaikum. Then the Prophet said, you didn't pray good. Go repeat your prayer. He prayed, then he came back, and when he came back, he said, assalamu alaikum again. طيب. Also, it is allowed for you to repeat the salam if someone didn't hear you. Like I say, assalamu alaikum. You didn't hear me. I say, assalamu alaikum again. And with this, you understand that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha sallama sallama thalatha. مش معناها يعيد التسليم ثلاث مرات. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Bukhari, hadith Anas, when he gives salam three times. Nobody understand that Nabi repeat the salam three times. No, he would repeat it up to three times to get the person's attention. واضح? That's what this hadith means. Also, you should give salam to those who you know and those who you don't know. It's the right of every Muslim. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afshu salam, spread salam. And also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is the best thing to do in Islam? He said, the best thing, Khalid, to do in Islam is to tut'imu al-ta'am, to give food. Wa tuqri'u al-salam ala man ta'rif wa man la ta'rif, to give salam to those who you know and who you don't know. And the hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, among the sign of the Day of Judgment, that you only give salam to those who you know. Somebody you don't know, you give them salam. You don't give them salam. And I noticed that, subhanAllah, when I go overseas, if you guys are going to do that, separate from each other, please. Okay. Yeah. Omar, go. Far away from me. Yeah. Okay. Pay attention. So, that the person gives salam to those who he knows only. When I go to overseas, sometimes when I pass in the street, say salam alaikum to someone, he just check me out. Why he giving me salam? You know? It's just very weird for some people. But it is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. People will only give salam to those who they know. Tayyib. When the Prophet ﷺ said, when you meet him, you give him salam. It doesn't mean that only when you meet him. Because when you meet him and when you leave him as well or her, لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وليست الأولى بأحق من الثانية. The same, the importance of the salam when you leave is equal to the importance of giving salam when you meet. And I noticed this is sunnah is not almost not practiced. That people don't give salam when they leave one another. They always give salam when you see your friend, but not when you leave your friend. طيب. طيب, why the Prophet ﷺ said, when you meet? Okay? When you meet, تغليباً, because that's the common thing, because in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, people are always superstitious by the one who comes and approach them. So they are so scared of the person who's coming. They always have this idea. If somebody approach them, it means he carrying bad news. There is people like that. And I know some people like this. At home, when the phone goes off, immediately bad news. They're superstitious. Any phone after 9 o'clock, it's bad news. It became a superstitious. When you call on Friday mornings, you know, or this day, it's a superstition. That's not right. So the Arab, they have this idea in the time of the Prophet. So that's why we count, the Islam counter that by saying, no, you say, Assalamu alaikum. You only bring peace and goodness when the person comes. Tayyib. If somebody leaves, we said, you remember, giving salam is sunnah. But what's the rule of replying to salam? Wajib. You have to. That's right. Tayyib, question. What about when you leave and you say, Assalamu alaikum? Is it also wajib to reply?
Yes.
Exactly. Like, they are equal. Meeting and leaving, equal. So if somebody said, Assalamu alaikum, when he's leaving, it's also obligatory on you to say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. That's what Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah said. Question. Is it permissible to give salam with other than Assalamu alaikum? Is it permissible to give salam with other than Assalamu alaikum? What's up? Hi. Good morning. Bonjour. Bonsoir. Como estás? Huh? Yeah, how about, like for Muslims first. Can you greet someone with other than Assalamu alaikum? Huh? This is basically marhaba. Can you do that? Here I would say, to replace the greeting with something other than Assalamu alaikum is not allowed. Because Assalamu alaikum and greeting with salam is one of the sign of Islam. Min sha'air al-Islam. Okay? But at-tasleem fi dhatih, saying Assalamu alaikum is sunnah, is not wajib. It is not wajib. I don't get sin if I didn't say Assalamu alaikum when I pass by you. Okay? But if we replace the greeting, and instead of say Assalamu alaikum, I would say something else, no, it's not allowed to replace that. طيب. What if someone doesn't replace? Like, sometimes you say marhaban. Sometimes you say كيف الحال. Things like of that nature. Al-ulama rahimahumullah said it is permissible. If it is sometimes happened. Why? Because in the authentic hadith, Ummi Hani came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was taking a shower and he was covered, okay, by his daughter, she covering him. And he is behind the curtain. And Ummi Hani, she said, Assalamu alaikum, Ya Rasulullah. She gave salam. In Nabi ﷺ said, Man, who is this? She said, this Ummi Hani. Then he said, Marhaban Ummi Hani. Welcome Ummi Hani. He didn't even say wa alaykum as-salam. But it could be that he didn't say wa alaykum as-salam because he doesn't want to mention Allah's name while he is in this status, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But also, there is another narration where Fatima used to come to the Prophet sallam, and when he sees, he will tell her, marhaban ibnati, welcome my daughter. But also we can say, maybe he used to say assalamu alaykum, but because marhaban is something not common, That's why it was mentioned by the narrator. It doesn't mean that he never said wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So if this is the case, I would say that we should not replace as-salamu alaykum with something else. But if sometimes somebody said something like in a random time, it is not a sin, inshallah ta'ala. But we cannot replace that. Because I see now young people, they say peace. They meet each other, peace. What's peace? Irhamukallah. It's as-salamu alaykum, not peace. What's up? You know, hey man. You know, that's not right. What's up? Sky is up. Gas is up. Yes. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things up these days. You know, anyway, so when you say what's up, that's, you can say this after you say wa alaykum as-salam. You say whatever you want. But we should learn how, that always we say salamu alaykum to each other. Yes. That's not right. Because remember, we said salamu alaykum when we meet and when we leave. When we leave. And that's a good point. Maybe even the youth now say peace in the time of leaving. And that's replaced the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, and there is no hasana in it, absolutely. When you say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi, you take 30 hasana. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, 30 hasana. طيب, when you enter the masjid, and there is people in the masjid, do you give salam to people in the masjid? And if you give salam, when? Listen to this. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا دخل المسجد ورسول الله جالس في ناحية المسجد فصلى ثم جاء فجلس فسلم عليه. So a man came to the masjid, he prayed two rak'ah, then he came to the Prophet ﷺ. So al-ulama from this hadith is said, and the Nabi said, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ اِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَصَلِّ. From this hadith, the ulama said that you start with the greeting of the masjid before you give salam to the people. You pray tahiyyat al-masjid before you say salam. So if you walk to the masjid, before you say salam alaykum to people who are in the masjid, you pray two rak'ah, and after you finish, you say assalamu alaikum to the people. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and Zad al-Ma'ad said that's the sunnah. The sunnah is that you pray, you give the greeting of the masjid qabl an tuhayy an-nas. You fulfill the rights of Allah before you fulfill the rights of people. And also because if you walk to the masjid, assalamu alaikum, you make a disturbing. But if you pray, you're going to give salam to the people who are on your left and right, so it will not cause a disturbing in the masjid. As-salam, also in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسلموا تسليم اليهود فإن تسليمهم بالرؤوس والأكف الإشارة. He said, sallam, don't give salam like the Jews do in Medina in the time of the Prophet sallam. He was seeing them giving salam, how? He said, with their heads or with their hands. Yani, they give salam like this. You know, in the Bedouins, where I used to live in Saudi Arabia, the Bedouins like that. Allah bakhair. That's it. He just nod his head like that. Or like this. He do like this. This is means salam alaikum. No, not like this, like this. Yeah. You know, that's like the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make your greeting of assalamu alaikum with sign language. Unless you cannot talk or you are in the salah. If you are in the salah, you cannot say wa alaikum assalam. You use sign language to reply. And I will show you now how. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, not among us who imitate other than us. ليس منا من تشبه بغيرنا. Very beautiful. He said that the people of the book, when they give salam with the sign with their fingers and their hands. He said, no, you should say salam verbally. Because like what just Arafat said, Zalakhir, he told you that if you do like this, what ajr you take? What reward you take? But if you say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, first there is a meaning. You can relate to the meaning. There is a message when you say assalamu alaykum. It's not like when I say to Yusuf like that. What's that? Instead of saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, I pray that Allah's mercy and blessings and peace be upon you. And you replace this with a sign. There's no benefit in the sign. So here, also, there is a hadith with Mushkil, which is in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marra fil masjid wa usbatum min al-nisa'i qu'ud, fa'alwa biyadihi bit-taslim. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a group of women and he made a sign of salam. So the ulama said the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here did a sign. He did not say, that's what basically Asma said. He only, we show his hand as if he's giving us a salam. So the ulama, Nawawi rahimahullah said, this is a hadith that mushkil. And we have to understand it. Because now he did something which is not supposed to be done. And Nawawi rahimahullah said, it looks like the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it and he used his hand. So from this we know that if you use your hand while you are saying it, it is permissible. So I said, assalamu alaikum, using my hand. Or whatever sign you want to, assalamu alaikum, whatever you want to do. So you can use the hand like that. But you cannot without verbally saying it. It's not. You have to say it verbally. From this also we know that's why the ulama said that military greeting is bid'ah in Islam. In the military greeting, there is no salam alaikum. When an officer meets a soldier, how the soldier and the officer greet each other? Salute him without saying anything. That's not allowed in Islam. He should salute him, but he can do whatever he wants. He said like this, but he said also, Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullah. And that's what should be the etiquette of Muslims. And I know in some Muslim country, that's what they do actually. They allowed you to say Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullah, Salaamu Alaikum. And he would say to the captain or the soldier, but some Muslim country, they don't. They just don't want to be like, subhanAllah, they don't adopt the Islamic etiquette. They just copy other people. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't imitate others. Because those others don't have the same guidance that we have as Muslims. Tayyip, what if you walk into the room and you find your mother praying? You find your brother praying? You find someone praying in the masjid? Do you give them salam while they are praying? The vast majority of the Muslim scholars said it is allowed as long as you're not going to cause disturbing to the masjid, or you know if you say that, you're not going to cause that person who's praying to do something wrong in the salah. Because remember, salam is sunnah. So for example, Umar doesn't know the rules. I go to Umar and say, Assalamu alaikum. Or Khalid, or Yunus, or Qais, or يعني, whoever. Then I say, Assalamu alaikum. Then he said, Wa alaikum assalam. His salah will be invalid. You can't say, Wa alaikum assalam. So as long as I know that he knows the rules, I can. But if I think he cannot, I should not confuse the person. Otherwise, you are allowed to give salam to the person who prays. And there is plenty of evidence for that. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and the Hanafiya said it is actually dislike to give salam to someone who is engaged in salah. Why? Because they worry about disturbing. But the Jumhur said if you know that he knows the rules, you can say. But how do you reply to someone give you salam while you're praying? And I'm praying. Isha or volunteer prayer or obligatory prayer. How can you reply to my salam? How do you do that? Listen. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قباء يصلي فيه. He praying in قباء صلى الله عليه وسلم. Al-Ansar came to him while he was praying. So they greet him by saying, As-salamu alaykum. So they give salam to the Prophet while he's praying. فَقُلْتُ لِبِلَالِ كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ. And how he used to reply to them. You know, when the Prophet go to Quba, he used to go there on Wednesday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you go to Quba to pray, the Ansar used to come to give him salam, and sometimes they come while he's praying and they give him salam. So Abdullah ibn Umar asked Bilal, how did you see the Prophet replying? Then he said, يَقُولُ هَكَذَا. He do like this. وَبَسَطَ كَفَّهُ. Ja'far ibn Awn, rawi al-hadith, بَسَطَ كَفَّهُ وَجَعَلَ بَطْنَهُ إِلَىٰ أَسْفَلْ وَجَعَلَ ظَهْرَهُ إِلَىٰ فَوْقْ. So the Prophet reply by saying, if you're praying and somebody gives you salam, how you reply, Umar and Yunus, you do like this. You go like this. So your palm down, and you don't say anything with your mouth. You just do like this. Yeah, like this. And you come back. طيب. Also, عن صهيب رضي الله عنه, he said, I passed by the Prophet ﷺ was praying, and I gave him salam. And the Prophet ﷺ replied with me with a sign. I think it was a sign with his finger. Like I gave him salam, he replied by just not the whole palm, the whole hand, with the finger only. Also, Ibn Mas'ud said, I passed by the Prophet while he's praying, and I give him salam, and I saw him nodding his head. He didn't use his hand. So we have three narrations. One of them that he did like this, and that's common. You know, more than several times, he was seen doing this. And one incident, he used his finger as a sign for replying. And one time, he used his head. Al-Ulama rahimahullah said, it shows that you can reply with a sign that the other person will understand that you're replying to salam without verbally replying in any form. And some others said, no, the Prophet ﷺ used the hand when he was standing. But maybe he used the finger when he was making sujood or ruku'. And maybe he used the head because his hand, he couldn't use his hand. So he said, based on your situation, you are allowed to use a sign as a form of reply, but you cannot say it verbally. Because we're not allowed to speak or to talk in the salah. Allah said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحْدَثَ مِنْ أَمْرِ. Allah have made a rule. أَلَّا تَكَلَّمُوا فِي الصَّلَاةِ. You're not allowed to talk in the salah. There is a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. This hadith is very weak. So don't let someone tell you, oh, this is not correct. Why? He tell you there is a hadith that the Nabi ﷺ said, whoever made a sign in salah that is understood, this sign is like a replacement of word. And if you see it, you understand what this person is trying to say, that person should repeat his salah. قال من أشار في صلاته بإشارة تفهم فليعد صلاته. This hadith is Sunan Abi Dawood, and Abu Dawood رحمه الله said هذا الحديث وهم. This hadith is not authentic. طيب. السلام is a form of دعاء. When I say السلام عليكم, I'm making دعاء. I'm praying for you. Okay. And also it is a greeting. I greet you. That's why it's talk, a dialogue. I talk to you expecting what? Reply from you. But when we say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, in tashahud, that's not a dialogue. That's a dua. When the sahaba say, As-salamu alaykum, and the Prophet ﷺ in front of them, Umar, the Prophet didn't look back and said, Wa alaykum as-salam, in the salah. Because if they were talking to the Prophet, their salah will be invalid. Same thing when you go to the cemetery. As-salamu alaykum ahl al-diyar. When you say, As-salamu alaykum, all the people of this land, you're not greeting them because they cannot hear you and reply to you. You are saying, oh Allah, shower them with your peace. It's a form of dua, not a form of communication with the dead. Because we don't talk to the dead and the dead talk back to us. We don't do that. That's why when you go to the cemetery, you don't talk to the dead. You don't say to your brother or father or whoever died, you talk to them and you as if you like conversation. That's not allowed. Dead or dead, they're not going to be able to communicate with you. Even if they hear you, they don't hear you in a way where they can respond. So these are the issue that I have for you in regard to giving salam and saying assalamu alaikum. And these points that we mentioned is about 30 different points. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْ. And if he invited you, answer or accept his invitation. What that means, invited you to what? Invited you for what? To eat at his home. Or invited you for a feast. Any invitation? يعني كذا Allah that day opened the heart of, you know, Kabir, and he said, kida by mistake, he said, Tfadla Sheikh Walid at my home. I'm cooking for you today, you know, jambalaya. Oh man, he does the best one. Inshallah. Zaid kida yani came out. He said, come, do I have to answer that? So any invitation? Hey, we're making halim tonight, come over. So I am obligated to go to eat. Halim, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Or the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْ, in relation to وَلِيمَةِ الْعُرْسِ فَقَطْ, to the feast of the wedding. يعني Aqib got married. Your son got married. Your son got married. Okay. And he invited me for his walima, for his marriage. Is this the one that the Prophet I'm referring to, or any kind of invitation? I can tell you the overwhelming number of scholars. I couldn't now think of any scholar said that this applied to any invitation. The overwhelming of scholars, all of them almost agree that this is only restricted to the issue of what? The feast of the wedding, walimat al-urs. And they said for the wedding, it is must. It's wajib. So if someone invited you to the wedding, you must answer that invitation. And that's the majority of the scholars. And that's the position of Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Imma al-Arba'a, and the Zahiri. And some ulama claim there is ijma', a consensus even on this, but there is no consensus. Okay? But Ibn Abdul Barr, Al-Qadi Iyad, Al-Nawawi said it's agreed upon between all the scholars. If somebody invited you to the wedding feast, you must answer it. Okay? And the Shafi'i said it's fard ayn. It's a must upon every individual. The Hanabila said it's fard kifaya. If you know there is some people will go to the feast and to the wedding feast, khalas, you don't have to go. You only have to go if you know nobody showing up except you. Tayyib. That's if the Hanabila said that's if the invitation is general. Yani somebody comes here in the masjid and he said, by the way, all the people in the class, you are invited to my wedding. Al-Hanabila said, in this case, if some will go, the rest doesn't need to go. But the Hanabila said, if he come to you and he said, Ibrahim, I'm inviting you to my wedding. The Hanabila said, you must go. You see how it is? طيب. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا دُعِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى الْوَلِيمَةِ فَلْيَأْتِهَا فَلْيُجِبْ اِئْتُ الدَّعْوَةَ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ. All this wording from the Prophet said clearly, if you are invited, answer it. Come, respond. Okay? And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الدَّعْوَةِ فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And those who do not show up have disobeyed Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this hadith fi al-Sahihain, fi al-Bukhari Muslim. Hadith Abi Hurairah. The worst of feasts are the one that you invite the rich and you don't invite the poor. And whoever is invited and didn't show up is have disobeyed Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. طيب. There is another opinion that it is highly recommended to answer the wedding feast, the invitation to the wedding feast. And that's the opinion I choose, and that's the opinion of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah as well, and it is one narrations among the Hanabila. Why? Basically, and that's also some Maliki, some Shafi'i said that. Why? They said, because, number one, answering or coming to the feast or the wedding feast, it is ليست من العبادات من العادات ومكارم الأخلاق. They said it's among the manners and the, you know, it's not an act of worship that it became must upon the person, and it is just among the good manners. And these are things which is recommended. If you look at the way the Sharia built its ruling, it doesn't fit to say it is wajib. If you look at how the Sharia established all the ruling, this became something of the recommended act that you should do. As for the hadith, the big problematic is the hadith of Sahihain. Abu Huraira, he said, he disobeyed Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-ulama, rahimahullah, said that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, statement is the worst of feast, the one that you invite the rich and you leave the poor. The addition, and those who don't answer the da'wah, those who don't answer the invitation, disobeyed Allah, His Messenger, he said, that addition, it is from Abu Hurairah, not from the Prophet ﷺ. قالوا أن هذا موقوف من كلام أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وليس من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So it is his opinion, his ijtihad. As for the other hadith, if he invites you, answer him, that's because it's recommended for you to do so. But in any way, I would say, if you are invited to a wedding feast, you make sure you do your best to go, as long as this wedding feast is halal. And one time I was invited to a wedding feast, and was invited to attend and to give a talk. By the time I arrived, I found a belly dancer in front of me. So I made a U-turn and left. I don't have to answer someone like that. Okay? So, yeah, Zaffa. So, there's haram in it. You are allowed not to go. There is mixing. There is, in a way, that is not allowed. Or there is alcohol. Or there is, like, you know, things like this. You have the reason for you not to attend. طيب. Also, I want to say, when he invite you, answer the invitation, it means that you show up. But it doesn't mean that you have to spend the whole night. So if you invited me and I go, I say, Assalamu alaikum, mabrook, do I have to sit until to eat? Because one time, many times when I go to a wedding, they tell me, it's not count until you eat, Sheikh. That's not true. If you eat, هذا أكمل في إجابة الدعوة. It's better. Because responding to the invitation levels, the minimum level is to show up and to show support. Higher than that is to sit and to eat and to, you know, even go all the way to the dessert. Also, I want to cite, it is among the good manners, if you're not going to show up for the wedding, that you apologize. That you say, I'm not coming. Why? So you don't open the door for the shaitan. And you ask for your brother to excuse you. If this is the case, I want to say also that when you invite people for a wedding, make sure that in your intention, anyone doesn't show up is forgiven. Because the majority said it's must. So you put me in big haraj. And sometimes people have a wedding that I don't know them very well. He comes and he said, Sheikh, this is invitation. Oh my God, I'm now stuck. What if I take the opinion of wajib? And also, if you cannot attend, you can tell the person from the beginning, hey, I'm sorry, I cannot attend. I can't promise. So at least to be in the safe side, not to be responsible for it. I would like to say also that inviting you, today people invite each other with, let me ask you a question. Do you guys think it is still a common practice, people today, that they print the invitation card? It's getting less and less. That's old style, that's right, old fashioned. Yeah, it's still less and less. I want to make a couple of things about this invitation letter that people send you, like they print. Sometimes they waste so much money. And in the all of them ended up where? Trash. Also, some of them put verses in the Quran, or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And with this, you trash it, and it has verses. It has Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So make sure you avoid any Arabic text with Allah's name mentioned. Okay? Three, one of the cool things I found of invitation, and I know some community member here in our community did that a long time ago when I suggested it, that they used CDs in the time where CDs were common. So the CD is actually the invitation. It says, I invite you to my daughter's wedding and my son, blah, blah. Everything written on the CD. And the CD itself, it's a Quran, or it's a lecture, or it is, you know, adhkar, you know. So people will use this in the future, and it will be beneficial. They're just wasting, you know, papers. So some people do that. And today, a lot of people do what? The e-invitation, okay? You just basically invite people electronically. What do you do if the wedding has haram stuff? What do you do? Should you go or you don't go? Let's say there's things haram in the wedding. Let's say music's loud and stuff like that for men. Say that again? Yeah. Let's say there is a non-Muslim wedding, or family, or a convert, or co-workers, and definitely there is things which is not allowed, khamar, alcohol, stuff like that. What do you do? In this case, as I said, you can show up and say congratulations, give the gifts, and leave. What's not allowed is to be participating in drinking or socializing on that sense and, you know, being part of it. But you can go, say salaam alaikum, or hey, congratulations. And even if it's a relative, you can go and, you know, give greet them, hey, how are you doing, and leave. Like this Billy Dancer's wedding I told you about, when I went, you know, I was like shocked, actually, when I went. So what I did, I didn't just leave. He didn't know. The person, I made sure that he knows that I came. And I had a gift, and I put it on the table, and I left. So you don't have to purchase, but sometimes you have to stay. What if it's your brother? What if it's your uncle? What if it's somebody near, like dear to you, close to you? In this case, you avoid the haram as much as you can. Sometimes it's your own wedding, and you can't control it.
Like after, like your like final year.
You can go and give your fulfill your duty, but you're not allowed to stay in a place where there is haram, where you don't have to stay. You have to leave the place. You fulfill your duty and you leave. Let's end with this. These also rules apply to Muslim and non-Muslims. So it is from the good manners and non-Muslim invite you to answer their invitation. Also, it's a good manners when somebody invited you at general at their home for food that you come. It doesn't need to be wedding. Or at their restaurants. Or at their, you know, what about, can I invite you to my friend who invited me? Let's say, mashallah, Abu Walid invited me to his house. And I bring with me Aqib. He didn't invite Aqib. I showed up and I bring Aqib with me. And Nabi Sallam did the same thing. He showed up at the person's house and he said, I have with me guests. Would you give them the permission? So you take a permission. He said, you are welcome and your guests are welcome as well. But يعني, please be sensitive. You know, and if you know it's hard for the person, you know, don't embarrass the person. Okay. There's one thing about salam alaikum. If non-Muslim give you salam, what you say? Sometimes a Muslim politicians all the time comes and salam alaikum. You give them salam. You said wa alaikum salam. He said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Ibn Abbas said, if Fir'aun, not Fir'aun, tell me, may Allah bless you, I will say, may Allah bless you too. قال لو قال لي فرعون بارك الله فيك لقلت وفيك بارك. And also, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, في البخاري, to a group of people, Muslim and non-Muslim sitting together. He greeted all of them by Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Because remember, it's a form of dua. What can be better than Allah put His mercy and blessings on someone? طيب, what about if somebody said, no, you should say wa alaikum. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said wa alaikum to those who used to tell him, salam alaikum. What? Salam alaikum. Salam, it means death upon you. Salam, it means death upon you. But it sounds like what? Salam. So the Prophet didn't know, did they say salam or salam? So the Prophet said, wa alaykum, same to you. He said, if they said as-salam, peace, so peace to you. And if they said death, it means death to you. And Allah will accept from us and Allah will accept from them. This hadith is beautiful. There is one thing you learn about, you learn from this hadith, other than salam, the issue of salam, which is you avoid as much as you can what? Confrontation. We're not looking to start a confrontation. You know, if the Prophet said, why would you say salam? They would say what? I didn't say salam. You heard me wrong. And it will back and forth. You're not going to go anywhere. So cut it off. Say same to you and move on. So, can you greet non-Muslim with Assalamu alaikum? You initiated. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and that's the correct opinion, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, if non-Muslim by himself, you don't initiate the greeting by say Assalamu alaikum. قال لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام. Very explicit. Do not start. But you start with other than Assalamu alaikum. You can say, hi, how are you doing? What's up? Whatever you want. Marhaban, anything you want. Okay? And some other ulama said, no, you're allowed to say Assalamu alaikum even to them to start with, if they understand it and that's part of their culture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. Can I attend a wedding or sit on a table if there is alcohol on that table. The person should avoid sitting on a table where the alcohol is served. Should avoid. Only allowed to sit on that table if there is if I have to be there and there is no other alternative. Let's assume there is a situation where I have to be, I cannot leave, and I can't find an alternative. In this case, I manage my own space. I don't pass it, I don't serve it, because maybe there are certain scenarios where I have to be there. Like, for example, some diplomats. They're diplomats, and they will be in a gathering where they don't have the luxury to make choices. You know, and I get this question quite often from people, ambassadors and people of that nature. And we tell them, you do your best, but you can't, you can't. Or some managers, some business also deals. Sometimes you can't get out of it. In this case, we say, تَقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah according to your best. Sometimes also, the only space is available for you to eat or to consume food, or it might be a place where, like an airport. If you go to Houston Airport, now they have these tables in the middle, like a long table, and people sit on it. It's one table, but it's a very long table. And I'm sitting that day working on it, waiting for my flight, and somebody in the left and the right coming with their drinks. You know, we're all in the same table, but it doesn't mean I have to leave. You see, so there are certain scenarios could be like that. Yes, Omar. No, because like what you heard me, it's a sunnah only to go, so it is not a sin not to go. So you can, but you should apologize. I said, I can't because my son is sick. Yeah, sure, but let him finish, yeah. Okay, if somebody greet me with their own greeting, if this greeting, it does not include any type of praying to God or praying to other than Allah or any religious meaning behind it or shirk behind it, it's okay. But as a reply to them, it's like somebody tell me, bonsoir, bonjour. It's a culture, so you reply to them in the same manner. I remember in India, for example, I got in trouble because I said, I was in Kerala down south. So I said, Vanakkam. I guess nobody from India here. Vanakkam, which is in Tamil, which is a way of greeting. So some people get upset, said, this is a god and deity and religious. And it became a whole debate for 3 days between people around me. Is this a religious or non-religious? Does have any? So I said, if it's a religious, I apologize. I should have not done it. But I asked before, and I was told it's just a greeting. And that's what it looks like for me. It's just a greeting. Yes, final. I do believe that this kind of gathering, like Thanksgiving gathering, let's put the Christmas on the side a little bit. Most of the rest of them are social gathering, okay? And I don't believe there is a problem with bringing food and purchasing. When it comes to Christmas, the scholars today have two positions. Some of them believe that this is a social gathering. There's no religious significance behind it. Especially the one having the business. It is Christmas became a very social issue. There's nobody praying or associated with the religious rituals or anything like that. It's not part of its ritual even to have a party. It's a culture thing. In this case, they said it's like any culture action, so you're allowed to attend, to participate in it, in the food, in that manner. Some said no, it still have a religious connotation attached to it, and the Muslim should not be part of a religious, any non-Islamic religious actions. So the person should avoid this one in particular. It's like Easter, if there is an Easter dinner or like something like that, you avoid it. There is two opinions exist. I feel more if it's a social gathering. I don't feel it's a religious gathering in most of the cases. But in some certain companies, certain gathering could be a religious more than a social. So I will let the person make that judgment based on what he sees. Okay, we'll take the question in an in a individual. Yunus, you didn't ask any question today, so I'll give you a chance. You should leave, and if you couldn't leave, you stay away from the haram stuff. You basically, it doesn't mean Christian or Jews or Muslim, or it can be Muslim, anything, but you just don't be part of doing what's haram. Just go play outside.